October 4th. Did I write that?
2011.
They're seeing this as an annual update.
Trevor, when you sit next to Gary, you have to be close to the recorder.
I think Bob and Langsley and I are going to be.
It's like Clint Eastwood.
Pass. Okay, well, I'll do. So it has been sent out.
I don't know.
We don't need it. He can hear me fine. No matter where it's at.
Bob's out.
Really? Okay.
So.
It's why. Near Gary. We don't have that problem with my voice. She gets me no problem. No matter where that's at, it will pick me up.
And there's some people who it will absolutely always get.
If I call this number, right?
Gary likes to talk really quiet, though, when he makes decisions.
What? Then you call him up and ask him what he said.
I have no idea. What? I have no recollection of that.
Welcome to AT&T's teleconference service. Please enter your access code, followed by the pound sign. Join the conference as the host. Press star. Otherwise, press pound. Please enter your host password, followed by the pound sign. Please enter the security code, followed by the pound sign. Your security code must be 429 digits. Please enter the security code, followed by the pound sign.
1, 2, 3, 4.
That's what it says it is.
How?
You entered 1, 2, 3, 4. To accept, press 1.
They say that's the most common PIN number in the world. And if you were to find a debit card laying on the ground, you'd have a 25% chance.
There are three participants on the call, including you. You are joining your conference as the host.
That's
for
any
other available commands. Press star pound.
At least use your social security.
Hello? Who's on the phone?
Yeah, 2, 3, 4.
Anyone?
Would be better than two.
Well, there are two other people besides you.
For the record.
Or like nine.
There were three total, and you're one.
It's a contract.
Maybe they put it on lead or something.
They don't want to talk to you. They're waiting until we officially start.
There's a fourth one.
Hello?
You know what? If you're the host.
Hi, this is Natalie. I'll come down when it's close to my time, but I'm crazy working on labor right now.
Okay. That sounds good. We're still waiting for a couple of people to show up here.
Okay.
No, I mean the people who are.
They
may say that they're there and they're not really in yet.
Yeah.
Is Brad there?
We can
No. Brad's at home.
Who's running the meeting? Mr. Tackle is running the meeting.
Thanks. I think you have my email.
Yes. I really mean they just need people's names anymore.
Right. That's your name or something.
Hey, Tammy, did you get the memo about the special ops form now for Columbia River Ops?
Yeah, I have chosen to ignore that at this point in time until I get more clarification on it.
Okay. I just put 2 in. You got a copy of what I wrote.
Okay, so when you use that, it doesn't actually, it's not going to send anything to me, and we still have to do FCOM coordination.
No. That's not for you. That's for RCC.
Oh, I know.
Oh, here we go.
No, I just asked her. Has she seen it yet? That's all.
Yeah, I've seen it, and I asked some very pointed questions as to what the purpose was, and because I'm not going So whoever requests the coordination, whereas for FCOM, I usually do those forms, but I'm not doing those forms for RCC. Whoever requests that coordination will have to do those forms, unless, or at least until I am directed otherwise.
Well, I assumed I had to do mine.
Thank you.
I assumed I had to do it, not you.
There's a lot of assumptions that will probably be made, because not to disagree with any of your statements, but I think the rollout was a little interesting, and so as such, I think there will be a lot of different expectations.
Well,
so
Bob had never seen it, and that's a little discouraging. Bob Buckles had never seen it.
Yeah, I know a lot of people hadn't, so it's kind of...
So it's causing some interesting conversation upstairs today.
Oh, excellent.
And is this is a coordination process for teletypes?
No. I'm not sure exactly.
RCC isn't clear on what it's for, so the rest of us probably shouldn't.
We're fixing things, though. We're making it gooder.
Gooder?
Gooder.
I like gooder.
Improvement.
Did it change? Lots of opportunities for improvement and communication.
It's only an improvement in communication if people actually do it, and if it's not cumbersome.
Well, it in itself is not cumbersome.
No, you just have to remember to do it.
But the question is, who needs to be doing it for whom? But that's a whole other issue.
And how often can you update it?
You can't. You can't update it at all.
Which is a problem, because a lot of that confirmation is last minute.
Yes.
No. It all comes out 30 days in advance. Always stays on course.
Hello to those that are on the phone. Please identify yourselves.
This is Don Ward, Pacific States Marine and Fisheries Commission, Pecagus Project.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, doing well.
This is John Rarison.
Hey, good morning, John.
So we know Natalie and Don are on the phone. Anybody else?
Mark Weiland.
Mark. Anyone else? We'll wait for another beep then.
All
right. Thanks. I got one.
Gary, do you know any of the other managers who are planning to be here?
It'll be here, I think, in a bit.
Okay.
At my other agencies.
Yeah.
If they're not, I'm going to leave.
10, so.
Let's get out of here.
Tom will be here at 10.
Tom will be here at all?
Call him.
Yeah, that's, he can do that. That's something to note. His excuse
goes
away.
Well, I'm going to suggest then we just get started and revisit things if need be. So Brad's sick. He has the flu or something.
Uh-huh.
So that's why he's not here. He went home kind of green yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
And we're thankful he's not here with us.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I'll let him know that. Are you putting that in?
It's on the audio.
Oh, okay. So John and I are going to kind of wing it in terms of rolling through the agenda. So action items from last Bitterwig. There's a note here about the John Day North ROV inspection, and that I was to provide more details on this issue to FPOM. I believe that follow-up ROV inspection happened, but again was unsuccessful, and there's a coordination form that is drafted for a dive operation right for October, is it 23rd.
The auction day is 24th if there's some issues.
It was what was discussed at FPOM. We just put the coordination form.
Gotcha. Okay. So that's going to be forthcoming.
And that'll require no spill through Bay 2, right? The traction spill will be shut off?
That's correct.
B2FGE, action item?
Yeah.
Are you guys still working on that one? First one?
Sure.
The meeting to look at the DSM channel, our goal was to take a look at orifices. That's still outstanding. It's been very difficult to plan time.
Just cancel it?
It's been difficult.
That way we don't have to just keep looking at the list.
Well, it's up to you guys, really. I'm going to be at Bonneville on Tuesday next mm-hmm. week, so there's an opportunity there, depending on your guys' schedule. And then back in November, early November, I'm going to be at Bonneville.
With the current alternatives that we have selected, I don't know if there's any use in going there. We're going to do. I mean, if we're going to be messing with the actuators and stuff, you know, it'd
yeah.
be useful. But with what we've selected, I don't see how it's going to make a difference. You, Gary?
Nope.
Okay.
No, I think it wasn't for us. I mean, okay. I've seen everything.
It's for folks that you know,
it was
work,
for other people work. Who aren't around the table.
And the other people that are around the table are not here.
All right. So that's. Not a decision that I want to make for them.
Let's leave it on for now, and as people come in, we can poll them. The John Day Erdick trip. Sean Askelson said he would be available today to talk about the trip report and options and next steps, path forward with the fish managers.
I don't see anything that's going to be done today, and there's nobody here to do it, so... I mean, the results of that trip were twofold. One was that the existing unit operation was okay, shouldn't be changed, and that there was a potential low flow spill issue where we could or should not shut off spill. That's something that I'm not prepared to talk about. I mean, I've looked at the stuff, I was there, but I'd like to spend a lot more time reviewing model results and thinking about that, and I think I was, as you pointed out, tasked with doing some SIMPAS type runs on alternatives, which I thought about, and I have no idea what numbers I would put in for those kind of runs anyway. I could guess just as well as anybody, I suppose, but then everybody would criticize me for doing what I shouldn't have done. So I think if we really want to consider a minimum spill cap, we need to have the regional folks in the room.
Okay.
Because as soon as I say shut off spill at 30 KC or at 15 KCFS or something, they're going to scream bloody murder. So, you know, without understanding it. But if folks have a chance to really understand the process and the concerns, then we can make a judgment call. Because that's all it is. It's just a judgment call on predation. Probabilities. So I think it, if we want to continue to pursue a minimum spill limit at that dam, then we need to have a regional meeting, and it will be a big deal. So it's not just something that a few people can decide without the other regional players. Like Oregon and CRITFIC need to be at the table at least. Fish and Wildlife Service. So today,
I don't see
any advantage other
than idea
telling the guys around the room what's going on, which they're
right
not here.
You know, when I sent out Askelson's trip report after the last Fitterwig, you know, we came to the conclusion that we could probably have that discussion here at a regular Fitterwig.
But if we had
the turnout's pretty poor. So
yeah, it is, and people need to have thought it through and have it. You know, I mean, none of those discussions that are that big are going to go anywhere. People haven't had time to really. First thing you need to do is kind of get their attention, and that's usually a meeting does that. It says, "Oh, you know, this is what the deal is," and then you give them a little bit of time to look at the data, and then get another meeting together to or conference call or whatever to actually make some decisions if you can.
Yeah, BPA was.
Yeah, I was really interested in that topic. Unfortunately,
Scott and Agnes, who are the most likely to possibly go on the December trip, are at Rorschach today. So,
but that's not, I mean, we're not going to be looking at that in December. This is all based on what we saw last March, I believe it was. And yeah, I think we ran it to the ground for those who were there. My issue is just reviewing the data again, getting back in the groove that we were in at the time and thinking through the model runs and the thought processes that were going on. I'm just not ready to just make a decision today. And that's no use talking about it. If we either don't have the data in front of us and are going to really dig into it, or are going to make a decision. So I don't know if you were thinking about having Sean come in and actually go through all, the details.
Sean was going to come in so we could address this. Yeah.
I don't. You don't have the people here unless people show up.
Nobody, yeah, it's pretty poor turnout.
Yeah, but if you put out a notice that we're talking about meeting, cutting spill off at John Day Dam, come on in. They will show up.
Yeah, I'd like to see gauge if we have consensus over what we thought we saw, and then
Do we think that we can achieve this discussion during a regular fitter wig at the next fitter wig, or do we need a special fitter wig?
I don't think so. I think it needs to be special. It'd be nice to do it that way, but the reality is nobody shows up because the topic is too broad.
Unless you get their attention. A good teaser in there. They won't show up at your special.
Like we are doing this. We're going to go ahead.
We're cutting spill off at 32 KCFS at John Day Dam. If it drops below that, it's done.
Well, and I think you don't do that. Smoke. I think what you say is model test results suggest
I know.
We're going to discuss the model.
Just kidding. Yes, you throw out the topic, and that's enough to get their attention.
Okay.
This is where we're thinking about it.
So, Brad, this is Natalie, and I recognize Lori Ebner's voice, but there was another lady's voice there. Sorry.
Oh, this is Christine Peterson.
Yeah, we'll go around the room. That's a good point.
That would be helpful.
Brad's not here today. He's sick.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm sorry. I've been trying to listen, but it's been crazy up here.
All right, so this is Sean Tackley.
Lisa Wright, Core.
Doug Bowles, Core.
Tammy Mackey, Core.
Trevor Condor, NOAA Fisheries.
Gary Fredericks, NOAA.
John Rarisich, Core.
Christine Peterson, BPA.
Randy Lee, the Corps.
Karen Kuhn, the Corps.
Lori Abner, the Corps.
Brent Melton, the Corps.
All right.
He's on the phone.
Don Worf with PSMFC.
Yeah, I think we might have had someone call in again. We have Don Worf, Natalie Richards, and Mark Weiland on the phone. Did someone else call in as well?
Chris Penny, Walla Walla, District.
Hi, Chris. So you're going to reschedule the meeting, set up a special
Set up, set up a special one and get everybody's attention. Right. Probably. It doesn't have to be until, you're not going to get many people in October, probably. So it's going to be at the end of November.
Yeah, it's pretty busy the next
probably December,
few months,
January,
really.
Maybe February. It has to be before we write the next fish passage plan.
Well, no, before we finalize the next fish passage plan.
That's because it's being written. We're necessarily that busy right now, but we are interested in the topic. So.
January to February?
You might be able to find a day.
Yeah, you get something sooner than that. Probably I just start throwing it. But do a Google.
It's probably good at the policy level.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so moving on. Changes or additions to agenda? Or to the last fitter wig notes? We have everything pretty much covered here.
Did we get notes? I'm sorry, I didn't get them. I'm sorry.
I don't send them out, Brad does. So if you didn't get them, he definitely did.
Yeah, that's my case too.
It's
a problem with every couple of months meeting, you just forget stuff.
So I can't tell you if I have changes to the notes because I don't remember reading them.
Was there a last meeting?
I was there at that.
I was too, unfortunately.
So you have no problem with the notes, is what I mean.
If I read them, I would not remember anything different than what they say.
Well, normally if I have corrections, I can send them.
Right, okay.
You can ask Brad if he just wants me to send them out after the meeting rather than just send them to him.
As acting Fitterwig chair, I recommend
okay.
that.
All
right. Bonneville spillway, Stilling Basin cleanup.
Yeah. We awarded the contract to repair the. Well, we went out with a contract that had a lot of options in it because we weren't sure how much funding we would have. So we awarded the contract with $2.9 million that we had available to us at the end of FY12. With that $2.9 million, we are repairing 9 of the 10 holes on the spillway surface. The 10th hole, which is 9F, so it's on the upper part of the spillway bay 9, we will grind down and smooth out. And so that contract's been awarded. It's been awarded to J.E. McGamus, which is the same contractor that did the rock removal.
Is that above water or below? Is that above the tailwater?
It's above. It's below the deflector.
Oh, okay.
It's probably out of water right now.
Could be, yeah, with that 8-foot tailwater.
It's pretty high,
yeah.
But it's below the deflector. And it'll be the 9F would just be smoothed out. And we didn't have sufficient funds at this time to award the apron repair, but we are still seeking to try and get additional funds because it'll be a hell of a lot cheaper if we can repair it now than if we have to award a separate contract. But that's being worked at a whole different level circle than this room. We did do a preliminary survey on September 10th or 11th, my mind's a little foggy, where we sent our survey boat out there to find out what was on the Stilling Basin. We did find two piles of rocks, basically at Pier 7-8 and Pier 13-14. Tomorrow, which is Friday, J.E. McCamus' surveying contractor is going to go in and do a survey. A hydro survey and blue view of the rock. No special operations was required because any attraction spill won't give us a problem. Assuming that survey, which will be a good survey, validates where we think we have rock, we would like to request the potential of moving in at the end of October to remove that rock. We will write up a full thing, lay out on a map all the equipment that would be used. We would identify the type of work. It would involve divers, would involve that same crane and bucket. And we would document noise issues that we think we'd have and turbidity issues. We had no turbidity issues last March when we did it. We have less water, so there might pick up a little bit more. We'll document all that. We'd like to really do that before November 1 so it doesn't impact completing the repair work.
Okay.
So we're just looking to do rock removal in 13-14-7-8, potentially the end of October, which is before our agreed to in-water work period.
So in the past, you've thought that rock volume out there is a finite volume of rock.
We have a finite volume, but it's 6,000 cubic yards.
I know it's a lot, but what's the yardage, do you think, here for this removal?
Our current guess is 175, worst case.
Chips away at it, but it's not much, yeah. Okay.
We also are going to, in this survey the apron. Last year, we flushed 1,000 cubic yards off the apron. If we have rock on the apron, we are going to consider actually picking it up because the contractor can't pick it up when it's out on the rock itself.
But if it pulls up.
But if it's on the concrete, it's easy to pick up.
Right.
And so if we have rock there, we will consider going after. I don't know that yet.
Starting to think this may be an annual process that we do every October and November.
I don't think it's an annual process, but it really pushes for that December 10th
right.
verdict trip where we...
Well, it depends on the trade-offs. You know, we get into that trip, we go down there and look at it, and the only way that we can not get rock up on there is to have a really bad spill pattern, then... You know, we're
right.
going to be saying, let's get rid of the rock instead of going after a
right.
bad spill pattern that's going to be forever. So, and you'll have to do retesting and everything
right.
else.
And if you look
there.
At it, we did have 3 weeks of excess of 200K spillage.
We did, yeah, I know.
It wasn't a lot like the year before.
Wouldn't expect another year like this, but
so
we keep saying that.
But anyway, I have not had the opportunity yet to evaluate how we spilled this year. To get a better handle of what put the rock
okay.
up there. I just haven't been here.
Right, I know you've been in Australia.
Yes, I have been. But anyway, so that's something we're working on. Tammy, I'm going to provide information to Tammy with regards to potentially removing rocks in end of October.
Okay.
I personally think it's not a huge... I think we successfully did it last March. We don't need to change operation of either ladder.
No, you're...
But we just want to coordinate and let you all know.
No issues.
We're not proposing doing any concrete removal or anything until the in-water work period.
The way it went last year, you know, it's a good example. I think it was...
We'll be providing the information to Tammy. The exact start date is going to be money dependent.
Okay.
So we're going to shoot, the earliest would be October 22nd. I actually think
okay.
it'd be later that week
yeah.
by the time they get the funds in place to the contract.
Yeah, okay. Bonneville's a mess anyway. We give it up this year.
Do whatever you want.
So, Lauren, when are you starting the actual, like, Bay 9 hole repair work?
November 1.
Usually, yeah.
November 1, okay.
Yeah.
And you think that will extend until when?
I haven't seen the contractor's schedule. We're due a schedule.
Bring it up.
Natalie, I don't want to guess, and my brain hasn't looked at the preliminary schedule and their proposal recently enough to answer your question. I'm sorry, I would be a guess. I have a preliminary schedule, and I know the contractor's providing us one later this week.
Okay, so we're doing, as you know, the Bonneville Washington Shores work also, so I've been calling into the weekly meetings. We're going to try to set up... all contractors, there are going to be 5 contractors working basically throughout Bonneville. So I just want to let you know that. So stay tuned.
Yeah, it's probably starting October 22nd for everybody here. Our daily conference call, daily at 1:30, will start on probably close to October 22nd.
On the rock
and that's between, yes, that's between BPA, RCC, the contractor, construction office, and Bonneville project office. We call daily.
Make sure everything's
so Sunday through Sunday.
Really?
Yes.
Does Scott Apple know that, or do I need to let construction know that?
No, they know that. It's written in the contract, so yes, they know it.
Okay, thanks, Blake.
Additionally, we're working the bull trout end of the coordination as well. With U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and Carolyn Schneider is gone. I tried to get a hold of her contact yesterday and was unsuccessful with that, but we'll keep trying. And then bird wire removal, Tammy was working on that with the project. Do you have any updates as far as bird wire removal?
We have not gone through.
It's sort of automatic, isn't it? You just drive the crane in.
Yeah, we can get the wires down.
They'll go down. It's coming back up again, is the issue.
What I was told is if the project does it, then those wires will be in the water. But if the USDA does it, then they'll roll them up. So we prefer the USDA does it. We'll give them to them.
John, this is Natalie.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that Carolyn Schneider's mother died?
Yes.
Okay, so she's off to Texas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, a couple other things to look into.
I didn't understand your comment on that. What were you talking about for bull trout? What was that?
Under the bull trout biop, we have to coordinate. You know,
coordinate what? What are you coordinating?
The fish impacts for
rock
removal.
Okay,
and our original coordination was from November 1 to March 31. Uh-huh.
So.
And this is the turbidity noise impacts that you were?
It's just because we have to coordinate bull trap and those same people don't come to the same meetings.
We just need to make sure that, okay, you know, starting early isn't going to be a concern for them.
Should be here. Where is he?
And she's the contact. Carolyn Schneider is the bio contact.
Carolyn Schneider is the PME environmental. Yeah. And the things that are, yeah, core.
Yeah. So she's not who are you contact? Who are you working with in the service? Yeah.
It's a,
oh man, that's okay.
Is it Alan Brady or is he core too?
You're not. Wills doesn't have anything to do with
it. No, it's not Wills. Yeah. It's
which is what makes it more difficult.
Yeah. That's the thing.
His somebody, name is slipping my mind.
That's okay. It
Chris
is.
Allen.
Chris Allen. Don't know him anyway. So yeah. How long is the process of removal, do you think? It's going to be through November? Or through October 23 through?
It's about
how long do you think it's going to take them?
To take the rocks out. Well, you know, one of the things
it's
we're
not
looking,
that many.
No, it's not that many. What we're seeing from the preliminary survey we got is we have four or five really big guys. We're hoping it's a data bust and it's just a bad data point because they're
where did that come
the
from?
Size of a baffle box.
Yeah, I was going to say, oh, maybe the baffle box came.
So we're actually hoping they're not real, because if those were real, it will take them. Otherwise, we're looking at 2 days worth of work.
Bust them up.
They'll lift them up, even if they're the size of the, they can lift something. We can go 6 by 6 by 6. That's about as big as they can lift. They're not that big.
Okay.
The one we lifted out last year at the end is the biggest.
That was a big hunk of rock. Yeah. How'd that get there?
But the issue is, as long as they're not too big, it's one day in each bay and they're done.
Yeah, so that's a short.
So it's really short. It's just...
tailwater an issue for you?
No. The tailwater is... right now, tailwater is of a benefit. It's really low. And the issue isn't the tailwater there. The issue is getting underneath the BPA high power lines with spuds up. And so it's actually nice right now if we could
lower
get them
the
in and get them in.
Yeah.
Okay. But the tailwater may not be the same, because I think do we go to Chum? When do we go to Chum Flows?
It doesn't matter. They've been told, the contractor has been told, tailwater could vary 12 feet in 24 hours.
Okay.
That's written in the spec.
Okay.
And they are prepared to deal with that.
So they
that's
can lower the boom if they need
for
to.
The daily conference call so that we, BPA and RCA, can say, well, we would anticipate tailwater fluctuation over the next 24 hours of 7.5. That's the point of those meetings.
Okay.
But the tailwater doesn't give us a headache. We have a couple of anticipated construction activities where we'll have a couple of hours where when they're pouring concrete, what we don't want to see happen then is we'd like to see it as close to constant as possible for the hour that they're pouring. So those are the types of things that will be coming up during these conference calls, is we'd like to place concrete tomorrow. When could we have a near constant tailwater for 45 minutes?
But it doesn't matter by elevation so much as constant. Okay.
What's the status of the B branch outage? The
4-4?
Yeah, for the pump removal?
It's out.
It's out. So is it still dewatered? And is there any indications for how long?
The pump's out?
It depends on what's wrong with the pump.
I mean, the valve's out?
No, the B branch is out of service.
Right, but have they got in and looked at 4-4 yet?
That's
or?
A very good question. And if you can get information on that, I would appreciate it if you could share it with me.
Oh. I know nothing.
Okay. Probably could, but I don't need to now.
All right.
We're really happy that we're going to get the concrete.
Yes, that's great. That is good news. Now, how long, what's the time period again for that? That process is...
Okay, remember, here's my problem with all this, folks. We should have the new contract scheduled at the end of the week or the first of next week, which we will send out to everyone for their awareness. We thought it was going to take 6 weeks to remove the rock, and the contractor did it in 8 days. Okay, you don't want my guess on the schedule.
Okay. But that's going to be a multiple-week process. I mean, that's going to take time. They're going to dowel in, I assume, some rebar and or
each pole has got a week's worth of effort in it, but they're staggered. Not 1 week and then another week. But
right. So it'll take you most of the in-water period probably to get that all done. Yeah. That's okay. It doesn't matter.
If we were doing the apron and the erosion holes, we wanted to get the rock done so we didn't impact schedule.
Right.
So we do know if we do all the work that's in the original contract, we'll be buttoned up against March 31st.
Right. But probably not the apron anyway, it sounds like.
You can if you can. And we do have concrete. No concrete placement after like March, first week of March, in order to give cure time before April. There's still work to be done, but it's not concrete placement.
Okay. Good. So the final thing on that issue then would be that early trip on the 10th of
December.
December, is that still
ongoing?
Is that still an agency trip?
Yes.
It's not a Corps-only trip. So we should get our travel. Then my comment to Corps is for us, for NOAA, we need to get the funding, RDIC trip fund replenished since we used the funds last year, mostly for our Harbor Runner, but also for some Portland District stuff as well. So,
and I have an action item to talk with Brad, since we're now on the new FY and the hope had been to finish this last year and we didn't. So I have Brad issues and it's on my agenda to get with him.
Okay.
Including that whole funding issue.
Yeah, can you keep me and Richie Graves up to speed on that so that we know that the 10th is going to come at us in a hurry. We have our own administrative process that we have to go through once we get the, you know, the go ahead from you guys that there's money there. So it takes a lot of prodding and time, so I want to make sure that we're
and it's on my list. But like I said, I got back this week.
I know. You did. Monday is your first day. I know, so that's understand. And if there's anybody else I could talk to, if I need to talk to Brad directly,
Brad needs me to talk to him first.
Okay,
I'm taking some notes on some of these items for Brad, and I'll chat with him as soon as he gets
okay, because I'm going to keep pushing on this one so that we get this resolved, just because I know our own side, you know, our own agency is going to take a bunch of time, and so we're already getting late for December 10th.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. The next item on the agenda, number 4, was the avian predation actions, and I just talked with Sandra. She's going to be down a little bit later, 10:30 or so, so we're going to bump that until she can get in.
It's bumpable.
And I guess Paul is out sick right now. So.
I think you guys did something with Paul. So what happened? Is there some, like, you got a pit in the basement over here and guys that...
I don't have any information on that.
Uh-huh. Nobody else here at a high enough level to answer that question, is there? Paul who? Poor guy.
Do you want to talk about the AFF mods?
Yeah. So we have a PM, Jeff Ament, and Elizabeth Hall is going to be the TL. Jeff is not here and will be back mid-October, October 15th, so... Jeff and Elizabeth and I met at the AFF on the 24th and discussed scoping for this year. We discussed operations impacts to fish, kind of filled them in on what the issues are in the AFF, and the most significant issue is probably the flow by the Braille pool. So priority number one, I think, is going to be to try to figure out how to reduce flow, the intensity of flow going by that Braille pool exit, and we think that we can make some progress if we utilize valve 14. It's located closer to the pit tag room. It'd be underneath the stairway going down to the sample area. We use that for complete dewatering of the lab, so trying to figure out how to distribute flow through valve 15 and valve 14, not only at the surface but through the water column, I think could be promising. And so we're going to have an HD person assigned. Elizabeth Hall and Jeff, we're going to look into that. Additionally, the building of the two-stage recovery tank over the Braille pool, that's something we think we can get done. And we'll get some CRITFIC input on that as well, you know, during that process. The movement of the exit of the Braille pool upstream, that's much more significant. That's going to require removing the flume, the new pit tag detector, removing the Braille pool from the lab, cutting out the floor, rebuilding the walls. It's things that are much more substantial and, you know, need more thought and planning for executing that this in-water work period. And then additionally, you know, depending on how well we can do with reduction in the intensity of flow past the Braille pool exit, and considering the fact that CRITFIC really wants to put in that pit tag antenna in the exit, you know, we should probably re-examine and take a look to see if that's warranted after we come up with a flow control
device. Yeah, we won't have time for that. So what you're going to need to do, I think, is get folks together on, you know, we had a meeting, what, a year ago, came up with these tiered approach, asked to get a PM together. Now we have one, so I think it's appropriate to have an ad hoc discussion. I mean, you've obviously looked at some things, the idea of having to take the Braille pool out, kind of that's something I didn't think. I mean, something that you looked at, so there's something out there that's more than what we've seen, and I think maybe in order to be efficient about how we go forward, we need to at least be clued into the process.
Sure.
The thinking that you guys have. I don't know that, Ed, if you looked at the 15 versus 14 gate issue, I don't know what that's promising that is. What I don't want to end up with is just a new recovery tank, and that's the end of it before our big A.
Another representative.
The other half of the representatives.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that we have... I want to make sure that we don't end up with just a partial fix.
I agree.
At the end of the season.
Yeah.
And I really don't want to see a large adult study go forward unless we have this thing fixed, at least to some satisfaction. So that's a, you know, one before the other. I really, really believe that this system has to be improved before we go in there and start a lot more fish. So.
Tammy?
Yeah, what?
Could you add a action item for me to set up a meeting with the PM and PL with the AFMCAS?
As quickly as possible.
Yeah.
I know that everybody's got tight schedules, and maybe this is just a couple hours and an afternoon. We need to get folks together. I want to make sure John's there. And
I told the researchers that. They've been pounding John's.
Yeah, I know. I just want everybody's attention on this one so that we get it worked out and get some realistic goals out there, given that it's October and we're talking about having something in the water by March. So, you know, it's time's short. I realize that for lots of contracting. What I just don't want to end up with is, well, that's too tough and this is too tough. And, well, all we can do is put a new tank in and hope for the best. I don't want to be there.
No, I don't. You know, when I look at what's built around valve 15, wooden bulkheads,
right.
Guides, you know, I don't think that stuff is too extensive to do the same type of thing around 14 and distribute the flow not only at the top, but down below or below the Braille pool.
Well, let's look at some of those ideas. Yeah. And then also, I realize that if that's fixed, then the exit to the Braille pool is probably not as important. But what we do want to do is resolve that issue.
This winter would be good for those that want to go in to the AFF and look under the Braille pool, because there's a lot of people who think you can just pull it out and turn it around, and it's not designed that way.
Right, right.
The way it goes up and down in that Braille pool.
Okay.
So,
I think it's just that we came up with several alternatives that we could move forward with. What we didn't do before was actually start to dig into those with the right people in the room. So yeah. I think that's the next step.
When's the AFF dewatered?
It is, I believe, November 5th was the date.
11-1 or 11, whatever, closest to 11-1. Yeah.
That'd be
a time to go up there. But I don't want to wait. You know, there's contracting and there's all this fabrication and whatever it takes. The sooner we get people together.
Is it project staff that are going to do the work on it, or are you guys going to?
Well, it's a small projects group, so
okay.
We would contract that out. But the project, I have spoke with the project on, you know, their willingness to help in some of these, some of this stuff. And if we can scope it and give them the right specifications to work with, there's potential there too.
Right. That's right.
So yeah. How much time does it take to contract that out?
I don't know. That's something that
I've heard, like 1690.
Yeah,
in some cases.
That's what I'm concerned if you were trying to get something done before
right.
The end of the year.
If you start in November, then you're
if you don't want to do the adult work finisher, that's fine with us. I can wait a year for that.
I'm sure Griffith can too, with all the work they do as well.
My researchers are not giddy about having a bunch of more researchers in there. So if you guys want to put off here, awesome.
You're saying you're with me, and that if they don't get it done,
just shut down the whole facility.
We can hang a condemn sign on the door.
The system is good enough for it to do limited, basically
collection for studies.
Yeah, that's not enough. If you want to make the call between what's more important, adult studies or TAC work to set up harder stuff, I will let your policy make that call.
Yeah, well, I can make that call too, and it's, you know, it's not going to be the sort of the passage study. So that can wait a year.
So the bottom line is more to come. And
bottom line is we need to get this resolved, get that facility up to speed to be able to handle the number of fish that we're talking about doing, probably not for 2 years of intensive adult studies. So let's make sure
I will do what I can.
I understand. I just want to make sure that we're you know, in the loop along with you on that and can help where we can, and
talk to
you know, the issue is that at some point we're probably going to have to make a compromise decision, and I just want to make sure that we have all the information in hand to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Trevor.
So for the folks on the phone, Tom Lors, Ed Meyer, and Marie Phillips have joined us, and Randy Lee, I don't think you were in earlier when we did the round robin. I think I heard the phone beep a couple times. Do we have new folks on the phone? Hi, John.
This is Sean Askelson. I was just getting a check of where you're at in the agenda.
Sean, we basically came to the determination here based on, you know, the presence of agencies and who's absent, that we would have to reschedule this and probably do a special fitter wig. My plan is to send out a doodle poll so we can get more participation.
Okay.
Thank you.
So you're off the hook.
Perfect, thanks.
Was that Sean?
Yeah.
So are we going to number 6?
Yeah, we were going to go to number 6 on the agenda, which is JSAT's transmitter downsize, but Brad is not here, so I think we'll skip that for today.
Okay, well, do you want me to run down, or do you want me to try to do my update from here?
If you want to just go through your updates, that's fine, and then Marie is here to help on that one. Brent's here to help on the Washington Shore. I don't see Hammernick, so. You want to go ahead and start on the Dalles Pit study?
Right, okay, so I'll start on the Dalles Pit detector work. So basically, we're at 100% document for the alternative study, and we had our value engineering report that we're in the process of getting. Sean's going to go through that with you. And Marie, do you want to add more?
The only thing I would add on that is that we did get some comments back on the cost review, so we'll be working on integrating those into the report, and that should be hopefully by the end of next week, then we'll have that one ready to go.
So by working,
Sean, do you want to go through the VE stuff?
Yeah, just very briefly, because we're just reviewing it right now. We just got it in our hands yesterday, a draft of it. But the gist of what the team told us was that they were trying to look for ways that we could reduce the cost by minimizing structural modifications, which is a kind of a no-brainer, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of the ideas that they offered were similar to ideas that we've talked about over the course of the last year or so. Could you move the antennas to the, you know, farther out from the count slot, for example, for the count slot alternatives, so that you're not having to remove concrete which can be complicated, which means driving up cost. With weir alternatives, can you tack on, similar to the concept that, that Trevor presented, can you tack on an antenna on the upstream end in some way that's kind of, it's out of the flow or minimizes hydraulic effects? So they had a lot of good suggestions, and I think the gist of it for the team is if we, you know, the next stage in this process would be moving to a design, and so if we, if the preferred alternative is the is a count station alternative, then we would integrate those considerations into that design process and revisit with all of you, you know, those choices, those, because there could be some substantial cost savings associated, as you know, with minimizing those structural mods, but there's risks from passage perspective. In the meantime, and we can, I guess we can go wait until Natalie's gone through some of these other updates to talk about the temporary pit. But I asked Don to call in today, and I'm sure that's why Chris is calling in, Chris Penny, to talk about the temporary pit concept, which is that thin wall and antenna, which many of you have seen this, some of you haven't, so I'll just pass these along. But Pacific States, and Don can speak to this better, but Pacific States has devised this thin wall pit antenna concept that adds 2 inches basically to each side of the wall of a count slot. This would be inserted in the count slots at the dowels at the east and the north ladders. The idea is to try to get this in this winter so that we can meet some of the study objectives that we're trying to meet for next year. The big consideration, I think, is, you know, what hydraulic effects does this have, especially personally concerned about, you know, lamprey. Is this going to be an issue to have, you know, a bump there for them to try and get over? Marie, you took a look at this.
I did, Steve. Yeah. And as far as does everybody have a copy of these drawings, first of all, that we could maybe look at this one first? But the 2-inch bump out, we didn't think would be too big of a deal from a hydraulic standpoint as far as dealing with the width of that count slot there.
Have you looked at both windows?
Well, one question. Well, this was the only one that I looked at specifically.
East.
Yeah, I saw your comment about wanting to see more detailed.
Yeah, we need
drawing.
I mean, we've gone out. I went out and looked at Trevor and I did. Spent some time looking at it, and I don't see a problem on the east side either. Yeah. At least the upstream part of it. But
right.
We didn't look at the north, and I'm not sure how much difference there is. If there are mirror images,
pretty similar.
Yeah, pretty similar there. But the only thing we did look at was, if possible, if we could lessen the ramp or the slope on that downstream end of the downstream antenna.
I know, the space in there is the problem.
It doesn't look like we could do that where it's positioned right now.
As we were wondering about actually moving it outside of the count window slot a little bit and then tying it in, since that's the flow is exiting there, it's not entering, so you shouldn't have a pinching issue.
Question of whether you could fab something, yeah.
Right, just just an angle with the antenna set in it, flush with the count window. It's the window side that we're talking about. The other side is in the shadow of the crowder, so I don't see that as an issue. Although, if you move downstream far enough, you're outside of that, too. So, and I mean, it just seems like, from lamprey standpoint, you'd have to tie it in smoothly to the wall. But that's just a piece of flashing. That's all that is. It's just a piece of, you know, if it's this long or this long, who cares? You bolt it in to the wall itself, and that just seemed pretty simple to us.
We don't have much room to play with within the count slot itself as far
right.
as moving those antennas closer together. Is that true?
That's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, there's the crowders in there, so the distance you have in order to get a nice smooth transition piece in there is the problem. It comes down to being only 6 inches or so, which the angle is.
So we're pretty much up to the limits as far as we can go that way then.
I think the front end is fine. I think the bottom, you got that deflector there that you can play around with that as to how much of that you want to change. The deflector itself, we looked at and thought, oh, that's going to be some work there just to modify that to a fiberglass. I don't know if you can just pull the one out, refab a fiberglass, throw it in, or if this is more of a little more work involved in there, I don't know. But that's up to a contractor or somebody, the designers, the mechanical guys, to work that out.
Right.
But what we were hoping to get was some more detail, because these drawings don't tell me much. They're more conceptual than they are. So, I mean, yeah, they're fine, but, and 2 inch, fine. The size of it's fine, but, and I like the fact that they changed the approach angles from their quarter round to something a little more smooth and lengthy, but it looks like it would work. I mean, there's a shadow. If you look on the upstream side, and I assume it's on both, same on north and east, on the upstream side, window side, there's a pretty good eddy there, mm-hmm. where that flow is coming in and it pinches, contracts a bit, and there's an eddy. Ed and I were talking about that. I think that eddy is probably large enough to contain the antenna itself, which shouldn't be a problem for pinching down the hydraulics in the ladder in the slot.
If you fill that, Randy or Karen, if you fill that eddy, it's not gonna pinch it anymore.
Pinch it anymore. That's what I'm worried about.
I'm not familiar.
So that's something for you guys to look at, Randy or Steve or whoever. But I guess what I'm saying is, looking at it, when Trevor and I went out, we were thinking, I don't know, because it's a bolt-on sort of thing inside the slot. But after looking at what's there, I think there's room. Right. The upstream side shouldn't be hydraulic influence at all. The downstream side would be if you have if you're on the window side sticking out 2 inches, it'll be a slight pinch there, but if you move it out of the window itself, and it looked like there was plenty of opportunity.
Out of the slot.
Out of the slot. Yeah. Window slot. I'm sorry. Window slot. Because you got the window and you have the light. The light banks are right there, too. And those light banks really cut off a lot of the space.
My question to Don is if he thinks there's any reason why they couldn't design that particular antenna to be outside the slot or on the downstream end of the slot.
Right.
Just bolt on.
Don, are you following that concept of moving?
I can barely hear that. Could you repeat that, please?
Sure. The idea is, or the question is, for the downstream antenna, for this thin wall concept, there's concern about having that downstream one in the slot just because it's your ramp is still a little bit steep and there could be some issues. Would it be possible to move that just downstream of the count slot and then somehow revise the, you install like fiberglass fairings or something to kind of make a nice smooth transition?
Yeah, that's most likely possible. We could look at it. The footprint is dependent on how gradual those ramps are, and then there's a concern that they're too gradual. They're made out of polypropylene copolymer, once you get too thin, then we're worried about it curling up. So right now the footprint, I believe, the antenna itself is 9 inches. The ramps are, I think, are 4 inches per side. So that's the criteria for moving it.
Yeah, I just don't know if you have enough space downstream of the light bank to fit that in, but if you moved outside of the count, that plus there's some hydraulic effect there's no doubt, but moving outside the slot then gives you a little more space to work with. You still may have to pinch it in a little bit, but
Marie had an idea of her question about maybe on the upstream end of the downstream antenna having a slightly steeper slope and shifting the antenna.
Shifting the antenna up maybe and making it a less steep slope, if we could.
Less steep.
So it increases it increases the angle on the upstream.
Right. So it'd be steeper.
Steeper on the upstream
steeper
side.
Steeper
on the upstream side and less steep on the downstream side.
So a shorter ramp.
Yeah, I think, you know, the thing is there, you've got the Crowder on one side, so that's all messed up over there. I don't think it matters what you do there. The other side, you've got that eddy, that pinch eddy that comes. That work in the shadow of that, you know, and I think that actually is pretty sharp angled at the front end of it, and then shallow angled on the downstream.
Or are you talking about the downstream?
Hide it in that eddy.
The down.
Seriously.
I mean, hide it in the eddy.
I thought they were talking about the downstream.
Oh, the downstream one.
Did you shift the antenna closer to the count window a little bit, which
but you've got the light bank in there, though. Yeah. Remember, the light bank is right there. The count window is here.
You still work within the same footprint.
Yeah.
The same 20-inch footprint.
I mean, would that help if we reconfigured the lamps that way, I guess, by moving it a little bit?
Well, the deeper the ramp, the more hydraulic influence you'll have.
But it would help on the downstream end of the downstream.
Yeah. For lamprey, it'll help, but for the hydraulic influence of the antenna, it'll be worse. It'll worsen that.
Yeah.
So that's, you know,
on the upstream.
What we're looking at the upstream side, because that's you know that side is fairly smooth. I mean, there's some stuff in the light bank and the count window has some, you know, quarter inch little divots. But
you'd be concerned about the passage issues of doing that.
We would be concerned with the effect of the hydraulics on that, and I would want to see that effect looked at in, you know, whatever. Just at least an opinion from Schlenker and Ed as to what they thought. And you know, Steve and Randy, your hydraulic folks, to look at that. But
you could, you know, instead of bumping out and things like that, you could fill the whole channel with a 2-inch plate and put your, you know, so it doesn't ramp up, doesn't ramp down.
Right.
Just, the whole thing is filled with 2, and then the Crowder just steps back.
But your count windows are there, and your light bank is there, and you're going to have the same 2-inch divot there anyway. So
but you could fill you'll have several of them. You could fill that with plexi.
Now you're getting into a lot of. I'd like to just see what the effect is of doing this.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys need to. What we have right now are some conceptual drawings. They're not to scale. The details aren't there. Let's get some details to that. Then let's get the hydraulic folks to look at it.
I ran this by Steve, too. I mean, he didn't see, neither one of us saw an issue with these 2-inch as far as the hydraulics go, where they're positioned right now.
I'd just like an opinion of what, for me to make that decision, I'd like to have an opinion from the engineers as to what that hydraulic influence was.
If we move,
whatever you come up with.
The way it stands right now, I think we're okay with it. If you're okay with it.
Right.
As far as moving it outside of the count slot, then maybe we'd want to look at that.
It'd probably be more okay.
I'll add that Mary Moser, I ran this by her, and she wasn't concerned with it.
But I'm a little concerned with that because I don't see anything that's drawn to the actual count window yet. Did I miss something here?
Yeah, that's not the actual count window.
You mean with
that's just a conceptual drawing.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff in there. That's not set right. So, I mean, let's see some real drawings that are what we think we would build. And then let's look at that and determine what the potential effect might be from the hydraulics, from the hydraulic engineers.
Don, did you catch that?
I did.
Okay, is that something you could...
We would be dependent on the Corps to produce those drawings.
Okay.
Well, and we have drawings in our report that we could probably overlay We wouldn't be able to spend a lot of time on that, but as far as overlaying what we have here is this concept, we could do that on the drawings that we have.
The idea is to get what we're thinking about actually building in the actual drawings of the count stations, east and north, and then having the hydraulic engineers take a look at that and say, here's the effect. I don't want to hear it's no effect, unless it is no effect. If there's no hydraulic effect, that's great. Easy decision. But I'd like to hear what the effect is and then let the biologists make a decision on whether that's a no effect or not. So
should we do both options, one with the in and one at the
whatever
end?
You guys want to think is the right...
What was that?
Well, I'm wondering if when you draw that up, if you should do an option where the downstream antenna is inside of the count slot and then do an option where...
On the outside.
Where it's on the end of it, and then we can evaluate which one has more of an effect for lamprey and salmon.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you, got time or want to do that, that'd be your, whatever you think is best, doable, most doable and best, if you don't have time to do both. But
speaking of time,
I think we're okay. I just wanted
to
be able to see that, be able to make that, okay. Because otherwise, we're just being a little reckless, I think.
Right, and what I'm not certain about in terms of time, Chris, where are we on the solicitation for this work, time-wise?
Well, we haven't solicited it yet, so the package will probably go down there to contracting a solicitation, probably, maybe hopefully by end of next week or so.
Okay, so we got to wrap this up pretty quickly and maybe have a call or something like that.
Yeah, because we're relying on Pacific States to come in with all the designs and specs, and then we give that off to our contractor to actually construct and install, and then Pacific States would hook up the antenna to Batagas if that's the way we go. So.
Yeah, I have a question about this. What is the goal for this winter? Are we still looking at doing both ladders, Path of Dow, then Little Goose, and Lower Monumental?
Yeah, right now that's what we're looking at. Time-wise, the Dow's is the priority, so we'll keep focused on that.
Yeah, I would, if I could make the suggestion of just doing the Dow's this year, seeing how well the system operates, and then if possible, go to Low Mo and Goose. One of the concerns I have, too, is the availability of the ferrite tile that makes the thin wall antenna possible. The lead time is extremely long on that. There is antenna builders that do have some in stock, and we have some in stock ourselves, but it might be a concern if we try to do Goose and Lomo along with the Dow.
Right.
Okay, yeah, Goose is a lower priority than even the... Lomo, because Lomo was in there because the special SIWG wanted to use that as a for the count discrepancies between Ice Harbor's pit antennas. So we may consider maybe Lomo, but the Dow is the priority. So
a question I have for BPA, Christine, is if you know this, do you guys have funding to fund PSMFC for this additional work to monitor Batagas and have this thing set up? Or
That came up at the meeting we had like with Mike Langsley yesterday. Not the funding question, but just these ladder antennas. And it's, I actually have to go back and probably verify that because I think there's a separate issue of funding for testing, you know, feasibility versus actually constructing or implementing it. I just asked Scott yesterday if he could get back to me regarding Spillway Pit, because I was going to try to talk to Don Worf actually about their latest results. I think they were getting pretty successful results for spillway pit detection. That's sort of a separate issue. But let me get back to you on that particular point.
We've been talking with Chris and I believe Don and I have all been in contact with Scott on this question, initially saying, hey, do you have room in your budget to cover the whole thing? And it sounds like that's not the case. But Don or Chris, do you have an update on that?
Yeah, I actually spoke with Scott earlier this week, and it's within our scope of work to support this project with no additional cost to BPA. We will have a part of the pit tag contract is 40 transceivers that we can apply to this work, so there's no cost there. The price tag that I sent out to you, Sean, I think the only thing that we are concerned with is computers at this point.
Yep.
And I'm speaking strictly of the Dow's.
And Chris and I can work with you on the developing kind of the scope of that contract so that nothing falls through the cracks.
Okay.
Yep. All right.
Yeah, I mean, for BPA, the in with regards to our internal budget situation, we should have still through the fiscal year 2013. So for 2 years, we're probably going to have, you know, limits on and have to have some cutbacks. But the situation is probably, I've heard it's expected to look better by 2014. But again, right. That's like a delay.
But this time, Patagas is, we're within our scope of work. We're past the dam many times during the week, so it's not a huge impact on us to add the dowels into our maintenance route.
Which is good. Great. Thanks, Don. I don't mean to skip through the agenda, but I want to talk about the B2 trash rig, since you're here.
Thanks for moving me up. Hi, my name is Eric Strickland. I'm a new PM to the Portland District, and I've got the B2 trash rig project. I think most of you are aware it's looking at developing a new system, a more efficient system, a raking system to prevent shutting down the units. So, at any rate, the team has been reassembled. We're working towards 30% DDR right now. The goal of completing the DDR this year and beginning the PNS and finalizing the DNS to make FY and getting into construction in FY14. Right now we've got a site visit scheduled in Monaville to meet with, it's actually a BE study and incorporating a design charrette. We want to meet with project staff, discuss lessons learned, and we also want to bring in some experts from around the region to help us out. Another reason for going up there is to get some of the undocumented lessons learned, some preferences, things like that, that we want to make sure we incorporate. Whatever we do, we want to make sure we get it right. And so that's going to happen in early November. And then, that said, we want this group involved in terms of the DDR, looking at the milestone submittals, the 60% and 90%. So as we get the schedule completely locked in, the next briefing, I'll be able to tell you what dates those will be coming in. I will be trying to drive the team aggressively. So when we come out for reviews, we'll ask that people do their reviews in a timely manner and get us their comments. We need the input, but we also want to keep moving on this project.
Keep in mind, you need to talk specifically with Tom Lors here every step of the way, since this is his personal project. It's been his personal project. He will not retire until this is done. So, and it's going to be called the Lors Memorial Rake.
As long as I'm not the one raking it.
Well, I see that welded right on the side of this thing at the end of
the plaque.
I'll see what I can do.
Long history there. It's like about 20-year history on this thing.
Yeah.
15 years, whatever.
Down to 15 now.
Is that the Lors Memorial, right?
Yeah, I know.
Didn't know I was going to go under afterwards. Take a while, then.
You're going with it.
Just memorial. I guess you better take your time. So the question we had is alternatives. Are you going to have like a meeting with the region to talk about alternatives, that kind of stuff? Because like, there's like kind of the easier, just swap out the rigs, put in a new screen system. There's talk about something more aggressive, but possibly even moving the orientation of this, basically the racks. Are you looking at that wide of a range of alternatives, or are you keeping it fairly tight and something smaller and easier?
Yes and no. I don't want to go too far out of the box and get ideas that can be cost prohibitive or things like that. But no, as far as looking at orientation and things like that, yes, it's on the table. Like I said, I understand that this has been approached a couple times in the past. This time we need to compile everything we've learned and get it right.
Yeah.
So it will be on the table.
Okay. We have a failed experiment sitting out there right now. I suppose that could be set in Tom's yard.
Yeah, there you go. I need some yarn art. Some lawn art. There you go.
Hey, Natalie. If it's okay.
Yeah, I'm still here.
If it's okay, I'd like to. I'm sorry, were you wrapped up on
that? Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm
great. Before we move on to Bonneville, I was going to see if we can cover an item that we had pushed out, the avian predation actions. Do you want to give an update on that?
Sure. We have
as many of you are aware, Mount Hero has been completed. It was successful this year for the turns. I'm still working on Hayward. We're trying to work through the funding issues on that one.
Have you made an offer?
I'm trying to make sure I have money I can offer. That's the
okay.
Latest hurdle.
So no offer yet to
no
counter?
Offer. No offer yet.
Now, yeah, I heard somewhere, saw somewhere that you had said a final offer. Are you really wanting to do that, or do you want to, you know, like a good horse trade?
It's not necessarily a final
offer. Okay, good.
But we're trying, at this point, we're trying to make sure that the funding, some questions came up, whether CRFM funding can be
used. Oh, you have to be able to offer them what you can.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so that's where I'm going down that road.
Fibbing to them, but yeah, I understand that.
I don't
but
feel like doing a bake sale.
Yeah. Well, might be worth it.
That's what you're from now until yeah. Eternity.
Yeah. I'm sure the court can come up with something, Sal.
So,
but a trash rack we could get. there's
the first year right there.
I'll try to go with that one. So that's where we're at now. We're just
some slot fillers.
Slot filler.
We've got some options.
It's going to work.
Slot fillers.
Did I say that?
So.
Okay. So yeah, I just want to. This is really important. I think.
It is important, and I actually want to make sure that the funding we can offer them is I actually can follow through.
Right. I understand. Yeah.
And then I actually want to make an offer and have them come back and say yes or no.
I mean, I guess I looked at this agenda earlier and I thought, why is this under a fish facility design review work group?
Where else would it
be? Well, that's true, but it really is a fish facility design. But what part of this is, I think, important for design is the fact that the Duchy Lake island is failing, and
yes.
That is a design issue. How is that being addressed?
We are... engineering construction engineers have gone out to review the island to see what our repair options are or what are our options that we can do. So we're trying to come, right now we're trying to come up with some options for
I'm thinking more down the lines of how do you build a better island, not so much repairing what we have, but you know, this idea probably
that
isn't
may,
what I would do again.
That may be where we're going. The fact that I guess there needs to be a biofilm to help the island float, which then has vegetation on top, which kind of defeats the purpose of having an island made of rock with no vegetation.
Uh-huh. Okay. Interesting.
That didn't really
yeah,
work.
That seems odd to me.
And anything biofilm. That we put on it to decrease vegetation then kills the biofilm, so then the vegetation grows and the island continues to sink.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that vegetation will make it less attractive to terns, so.
Yes.
Sounds to me like there's better ways of building islands. In fact, it sounds like in Bremerton they accidentally created a very good one, so I'm just wondering if there's a way to learn from.
We are looking into all our options, and that may be removing and putting in a rock island.
Okay.
That is on the table.
Okay, yeah, solid. And
yes.
Built on the. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. My concern is, get into other details here, but my concern is that we may need floating islands in the future, maybe not out there, but somewhere else. And so perfecting that
right.
technique, and rather than abandoning it, I think is a good idea.
I've been told that Sheehy was constructed, which was the second island, and it was constructed different way. There are other.
It's floating. Is Sheepy floating?
Sheepy is floating. We have
oh, okay.
two floating islands.
I didn't realize that. It's just Duchy. Okay.
We also had a lot of wind wave action that was not considered in
yeah,
the design.
Yeah, that was the problem. Yeah.
I guess the design is 60 mile an hour winds. Well, it's received over 100 mile an hour winds. So not only is it sinking, vegetating, shifting, the 408 modules are also separating.
Yeah,
so I might now actually have
several islands.
Hundreds of islands.
It's the Hawaii.
One bird per island. Yeah, which colony is that?
I'm living in your own home.
Okay, I
so,
just
and the connection issues that we have been having have also Sheepy has not had those issues.
Okay.
And the flotation has not been an issue either.
So
it has.
You think you have a floating island that works, one that doesn't, get rid of the one that doesn't.
Yes.
Maybe go with the solid foundation on that one, or
the floating islands are expensive.
Right.
Sheepy was, Dutchie was $875,000. Dutchie was, or Sheepy, which is larger, was $2.5 million. So the cost has gone up.
Can't you talk to the Navy and just get some old barges or some old ships and just put
those might be our better option.
I don't know. I mean, it's
but
just
the Navy for some reason doesn't really want to.
No.
Postcard?
No, they don't really want to give up their toys, even if they're old.
So. Yeah, Bremerton's got a bunch of old stuff.
So that's where we're at with
okay.
that. So we're looking at options for repair and what we can do. And I do agree, Floating Island International may not be the way to go with this particular island, but there would be other applications.
Right.
A floating-like structure, because when I say floating islands, people have a tendency of flinching, so.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a cost issue. There's the hole in the water you throw your money into issue. So, yeah.
And O&M costs. O&M budgets are going
down.
So yeah, that's where we're at with Dutchie. And we're trying to figure out repair strategies because we don't want to continue to keep repairing something that's going to be just as expensive 5 years from now to repair.
Okay, and I don't know that this is an avian issue. With the district, so I'll bring this up. It's Cormorants, though, as the working group and the EIS development process. I'll just get on the record that I still think we need to have a regular working group process that folks can have input into the direction of the program as it goes forward from year to year. So I know that the Corps is slipping into an EIS sort of exclusive team to work on the EIS, but from my perspective, the management plan, which is what the BIOP requires, needs an EIS. That's ancillary and parallel process to me. We still have a development process for the management plan, and I'd like to see you guys continue with regular meetings on that development, rather than, you know, we're not cooperators on the EIS, and that's because of legal concerns. So it's not just a choice by staff. And I sent a memo to that effect to the Fish and Wildlife Service yesterday. But
regarding
this issue of staffing, and it's in response to the notes that, you know, were put together a week ago with that conference call, I think, on Tuesday, 2 weeks ago.
I would recommend that you also send it to the Corps, because the Corps is a lead agency on the EIS.
I was asked by the service to respond to, and I assumed you guys were involved in that as well.
I'll double check and make sure.
Because it's for the record, for the minutes, but I'm just reiterating what I said, that I think that, you know, we want to still be involved. I would expect that CRITFIC would want to be involved.
Yes,
you know, there's guys who have been very vocal, and they're not cooperators as far as I know on that. I think it's only WDFW and Fish and Wildlife Service, the Corps, and I don't know who else, BPA,
I think, or
APHIS. That's right. So, and I still think that the other states and the other parties in the region need to be involved in the development process. And, you know, that could take a year or more to do. And
for the EIS.
Yeah, and that means that we're out of the loop for that long. I don't think that's appropriate. So that's my statement that we need.
Yep.
Parallel process, parallel, keep the meetings going for both term management and Cormorant management plan development.
Not disagreeing with that, and we are trying to work through how we're going to do it.
I know, that's not for you. It's more to carry up to other folks at the higher level. I know.
We're trying to come up with an acceptable solution.
Right.
That everyone
can have. I mean, I know we can't all set the table for the EIS, that's fine, but there still needs to be a parallel.
Well, and we do need input regarding research and any monitoring
that we do. And that's where the management plan process or the working group, I guess, just call it that, I thought was very, very good.
Yeah.
Collaborative process. You got a lot of people there. You got more than you got here.
Thank you.
From agency.
And I'll make sure that I get it from Fish and Wildlife Service so I can also.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
I have a question on Mal here.
Yes.
So you guys built an island there. You guys, I think at the last Walla Walla meeting, they said that you guys did some sort of analysis or had someone do one that said that basically the island that you built is such of a size that if it was filled up with birds, there's no more available habitat for any more birds there, so it's not feasible for them to build
more an island. Of a forage base.
Right.
So that we talked with...
So the carp that are available there,
yeah,
essentially.
Yeah, Dan Roby and others we discussed with. I know Fish and Wildlife also had concerns about, because trout are so important in that area.
Mm-hmm.
We did receive some comments. There's concerns about red band trout, mm-hmm. which are a state species of concern. So the Corps is also funding studies to ensure, to try to find out more and make sure that we're not having an impact on red band trout in return.
Well, I think this is the same reason why I'm pushing for more marine-based sites, because, and they should be more varied and more of them so that these birds aren't in one spot to create a problem, either from a predation standpoint on the birds or from a predation standpoint from the birds.
So we did discuss making that more larger, and then we wouldn't necessarily need to construct in San Francisco Bay or other locations depending on acreage and success rates. But it was decided that we couldn't make it.
We talked about that last week, too.
And was it a forage issue with the carp, or was it mainly the issue with the red band, or kind of both?
It was a forage base of how many terns can be supported in the area.
Do you think that analysis was pretty accurate?
I would think so, yeah.
Okay.
And I'm concerned. I mean, McNair or Malheur sounds like a great idea until you realize it could dry up. You know, and that's a lot of those desert lakes can dry up at times, especially Malheur. So I understand.
I mean,
that's
not the best. 2 years ago, it was in a drought.
I know. You could have walked across there a few years ago. So it's just been the last 3 years that it's been wet. So understand that. Which brings me to the last point I want to make is that there is a predation issue when you talk about it. I mean, the first discussion topics for those work groups ought to be predation management, because, you know, I've got some concerns about managing predators to manage terns. I mean, we're managing terns as predators. We're also managing predators of terns to keep terns from collapsing. And they probably, you know, that's a slippery slope that I don't know that we should be stepping out on.
Many people at a much higher pay grade in this building are very concerned about that as well.
Yeah, I know. So, but you know, getting folks together and working through those issues, I think, is a good idea.
Yes, and I do know that we're starting. At least we need to do the avian predation working group meetings. I know that we're discussing terns, but I don't see any.
Right.
Discuss
even for cormorants, although I don't know if it's much of an issue for cormorants, but certainly from the term perspective, that's what I was talking
about. And that's
about.
What we're trying to make sure that we don't end up.
Zab Memoy saying yesterday had some thoughts on that as well.
Did you also?
It was an email. It wasn't a memo. It was an email.
Did you also review the kind of the MOU to talk about that?
I reviewed the MOU, and I don't understand why that even exists. That seems odd to me. And I brought it up to my branch chief, and he thought it was odd. So, you know, they're asking us to sign on. I don't know that we would sign on to that. Why an MOU? Just seems, I don't know why that's, why is the question. You know, we're going to be talking about it. We're obviously requiring a biop for this to happen, so, especially for the terns, that's a requirement. It's not a management plan. We've already given credit for it, the biop, so it's an RPA. It's a requirement.
You can talk about the cooperating agency.
No, that's a different issue. This is a,
okay.
Yeah, this is a different MOU, and it seems, to us, it doesn't make sense. So, you know, we're already requiring you guys to do this, and why would we need to sign an MOU to work on it? You know, obviously, we have a staff member there, so. And then even the legal issues associated with that, too, which usually when we send anything up to our legal counsel, they say no. It's just sort of an automatic. Don't you dare
start
sign
now
that.
And then move on.
And I saw that the MOU did say that it wouldn't take effect until the last signature was signed and dated. And that was the effective start date of the MOU. So if we're not going to sign it, then you've got a problem. You got a blank. It'll never start.
Master plan.
The master plan, yeah.
Nice.
So that's something else we need to talk about.
Yeah.
But we will be at the table. You can't keep us away. Well, maybe you can, but you can try. But.
I don't want to.
Well, I thought we were kind of told to stay out. I'm just not a cormorant, so. Okay, enough said.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tom, did you have anything to add?
Not on that mess. We're taking it, we're in-house working on it, and we're writing comments.
Sending letters.
No.
Blaine's been very fiercely yes. commenting, and yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Washington Shore.
Okay, this is my update. Sorry, I wasn't down here earlier. Okay, so for Bonneville, Washington Shores, as many of you knew, we've been working with our contractors with a bunch of requests for information and submittals. And so that seems to be going much better. Now, the last time I reported to you, things were really tough. And so we've managed to, they added another detailer and things are good. But the question came up during our weekly conference call yesterday, and Sean and Brent, that's why Sean and Brent are here for this job. The contractor would like to get into the ladder earlier than we have already corresponded with you.
And we're into the ladder.
But near the ladder.
Near the ladder.
Which is the 50-foot rule related to being anywhere, 50 feet within the ladder, you can't really work. And so that's, so when I say in the ladder, I mean it's affecting the ladder, I apologize. So that came up in, within our correspondence that we worked through with FPOM to Tammy. The dates of November 8th, and then came up as the whole ladder goes down, and then I think it's November 17th for us being able to get in. So we wanted to chat with you about working near the ladder between like the 7th through the 17th.
I guess what was coordinated was that I believe the 10th of November is when we got it where it was flow. And then the dewatering process starts. The contractor is wanting to do some excavation work within 50 feet of the fishway. And so the question is, what date should we allow them to do that work?
Where at?
This is on like the kind of the grassy knoll.
Oh, the knoll. Okay, yeah.
This is for the.
They need to dig it down and put shoring in order to set up the rig for core drilling. So they would like to be able to pull that soil back, drop the shoring in, and set the core drilling machine there to wait until the ladder goes down on the
13th. This is for the AWS supply that you're
putting exactly
into
right.
the.
Exactly.
And,
so I guess my first question would be, is it, and I know recognize this is an FPOM discussion,
yeah,
but since we're here
is,
giving
yeah.
a update on Washington
sure.
Shore, this is the latest thing to pop up.
Yeah, that's it.
The question is, when we're at orifice flow, first of all, is that, I don't know what the definition of what's acceptable within 50 feet of a fishway, if it's acceptable to do this kind of work.
I don't know if we even ever really thought about it.
At orifice flow.
Versus
come
up. Versus
the only thing would be a good thing at orifice flow.
Yeah, chase the fish.
Well, no, I
honestly, the ladder's not running. So.
If you're at orifice flow,
well, that's fine. I just wanted to clarify that because
yeah, so
we've been assuming the 13th, which is when I think the actual,
I always like to see
dewatering.
Boy, I don't know if that schedule's changed.
Yeah, so.
Tammy, what's the schedule?
Can we do.
My calendar is the dewaters on the 13th.
So you'll be at Orifice Flow on the 10th?
Yeah, we can go to Orifice Flow up to 96 hours early.
What do we need to? When are you guys planning to go to Orifice Flow?
Well, the 12th is a holiday, the 11th is a Sunday, the 10th is Saturday.
It's like a delay!
Yeah.
And well, we can get
the second part.
So without the riggers.
So we could do it that Friday?
So it's the 9th?
It was originally planned for the 10th.
Right, that's Saturday. So you're going to the 10th or as well.
How is that work?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. And you guys, when do they want to get the contractor into work?
Well, the second part of the question is, I think Brent was asking if the contractor could work at night, if that would be allowable earlier than this, say like then the 8th or something like that, could they be in there with the ladder operating at night?
I mean, shoring it up, are you actually attaching these like support braces to the ladder wall or something?
No, this isn't.
Okay.
This is just to keep the sides of the dirt or the excavation from caving in, so allow them to work down the hole.
Is it copper laminate?
It's the same, like when they dig out in the street, they've got those big steel boxes with the braces in between. Mm-hmm. So they need to bring the backhoe in, scrape out that channel, drop these boxes in.
This machine down. Time of year.
It's before Chum. There are not that many that go up there anyway, but there's Coho, there's Wintersteelhead,
there's
yep.
There's less than 1,000 a day passing the dam.
Well, I'm saying at night.
But then we also have pretty well screwed up system. Cascade Island is a mess. Bradford is a mess. So we have A Branch is all that's left.
We'll have Cascade Island.
Will Cascade be okay?
Yes. So we will have to put the UMT bulkhead in.
But then we'll have activity in the spillway going on, which are kind of...
The spillway work starts the 1st of November. I mean, other than the rock removal, which will start the 22nd of October.
There's activity going on there, though, so I don't know that I trust the spillway side ladders to be very effective. So we have A Branch.
Well, could we...
What?
Oh, boy.
I was going to say...
Oh, what do you think?
We're screwed all the way around.
That's where I'm coming to. That's why I'm thinking that a couple extra days, I don't really like the idea of.
Well, I was thinking I'd be okay with night, because those species aren't really active night migrators. If it's like if you had some early...
They're in the ladder at night. And that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, shoot them out.
You chase them out of the ladder, then they got to re-enter.
Four days isn't enough for those guys to do this little shore-up thing that you're talking about in the grassy knoll?
I don't have the schedule, so...
The contractor estimated 3 days, but I would imagine.
There you go. But, got 4 day time to get 3 days to do it. I mean, if you want to start on the, I'd say if we're going to be at Orbis Flow on the 10th.
Yeah, they're fine. I am too.
I'd offer that if he's got big issues coming
up. Yeah, I just don't want to, I'm thinking more of the days earlier than that. I don't want to go any earlier.
They bid this project with those dates in mind?
No, they bid it with
different days.
The in water work period, and they're asking.
I get tired
for a little
of this.
Bit
I mean, that's what they bid. They bid on that. Freaking work time.
Well, but okay, so back
and they
to
the, always
well,
come
on. This is a bigger project.
So it's back to the detailer issue. So, you know, they have used up all of their float in this detailer problem, and now they're concerned about making the schedule, and that we're trying to give some flexibility because of this. We didn't feel that we've contributed to it, but that's what happened, and that's where we're at now. Where the critical project has to get done in the in-water work period, and we have no float, and we haven't even started yet.
And so, Bonneville's a mess. I don't want to do any, make it any worse, so let's not do anything before we are taking that ladder down.
Well, one thing is, in the spillway work, could we shift that to Bradford Island site? Have them prioritize that site first for those couple days?
Well, that would be a help, but I still don't want to.
I'm just saying, I mean, if we're worried about this, then I'd try to make that change anyway.
We're definitely going to be on the Bradford Island side.
That's
the biggest
I
rock is 13, yeah. 14. But
okay.
We will, well, hold on, let me stop again. We want to prioritize Bay 9. So we're right in the middle.
In the middle.
Right smack. Because they're talking November, sorry. The rock removal we're going to do Bradford.
Yeah, October.
But November 1st, the plan is to do, if you want us to do, there is the potential to do May 12 first. There's the potential to work in 12 first, so that we, it has to do with form deployment. Yeah. But we're only doing 12, 14, and
9.
You're in the middle anyway on all those, or to the other end.
That's not far enough away to make that big a difference.
So my point is, if you guys want us, they've proposed moving to 12 first. The contract hasn't been 9 first, but
I would say if the contractor comes back and says he needs extra days, then that would, we might, I, that's, I'd say if you go at night, move it to 12, that'd be fine. If the contractor's fine with the 10th, then we don't mess with the spillway. And except, that to me is the highest priority thing to do right now, is get the spillway taken care of.
Yeah.
The Lamprey stuff's important, but you got to have a functional spillway. It's not going to fail on us because that.
Yeah, I'll get that done. I'm not going to put any restrictions on that. But as far as this other one, let's wait until the ladder comes down.
Yeah.
It's just a couple of days.
So not at Orpheus Flow, not this
one.
Yeah.
At Orpheus Flow, on the 10th.
I'm sorry, yeah. As far as I'm concerned, when we're at Orpheus Flow, that matters.
Anytime.
What's at Orpheus Flow?
Yeah, at
Orpheus Flow. So they have Saturdays, Monday, and Veterans Day.
Well, they'll take it. I'm sure they'll take it.
Actually, they would be. Could you imagine that overtime you're going to get?
That's true.
I'd work Veterans Day for overtime.
Okay, thank you very much. And they will appreciate that. I'll call Scott today. So anything else you want to chat with about on the Bonneville Washington Tour stuff with them?
The color of the pipe.
I did bring that sample. I don't know if it matters.
Brent gave me some color samples of the conduit, you know, this gray or that gray.
AWS. That's the water.
Van Dyke brown.
That's the water gear.
It's got to be orange and black, come on.
It's Washington, it's got to be purple.
Oh, God.
OSU's 3-0.
Come on. The dogs.
No, it's not. It's just what color's in the power arm. Purple.
I know, you need to change
that. But
that carpet's
orange.
Yeah, the carpet's orange. It's not orange.
No, I thought you were Halloween.
I was Halloween Beavers and the orange color of the carpet. So.
I told Brent we probably wouldn't have an opinion, so maybe.
Little did you know.
Constructive opinion. You didn't really clarify that.
Princess what? Princess blue.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, my. That's how federal you
You didn't know it was a Martin Scorsese.
Here's some ideas. Concept color.
Yes. Where's the orange?
Where's the
purple?
Portland District. What about green and white? Portland.
Right. Well, there you go.
As long as I like gray.
Nothing really much.
As long as the yellow fabrication is underway.
Right. Yeah. Things are looking pretty good as far as that. They're cutting off everything. The shop is working full bore.
Yeah.
I've asked Brent if I can tag along on it, if there's an inspection of the flume. Shop before it gets installed so that I can see the finished
stuff. Yeah, you guys want to see that too, you know, with the Happy Dog.
Where's this at?
It's in Vancouver somewhere. I don't know where.
Fab product, so.
It's going to be there this month, right?
Yeah.
Steel.
Yeah.
Steel.
Yeah.
Steel.
And then
carbon with
change. You
want to
go look at it? Lamp reentrance structure.
They're going to actually hang it before they bring it over, so that might be a time to let them. Yeah.
Let us know.
It's going to be huge.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds like it.
It's not a problem.
You were mentioning the coating. Coating is just the same that we use for water pipes. So it's the NFS 61. So it's basically water.
Yeah.
Potable water.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Okay. It's should be good. Not,
yeah.
So they don't need to get in there before it goes to Orpheus Flow. There's no need for them to get in with Grand 50 feet right over the town.
Well, they would love to, but just, I'm happy to give them 3 days.
They have some minor things like removing the fence and that kind of stuff, but I don't think that that's such a big task. They'll do that at the 10th when they go in with their excavators to pull out some of the dirt.
Just run right over it.
It's extra anyway.
Okay, thank you.
Two fences at Bonneville.
Okay, so you want to go to Bonneville to John Day?
Yeah, John Day.
Okay.
North.
I don't know. So John Day North, as Sean already mentioned, we're going to try to do that ROV. We're going to do a dive survey. We could get the ROV. The ROV just got thrown around because we couldn't get it and hold it to see anything about the spill circulating back and hammering us. So we tried several times to not have to send divers, and that was really frustrating. So anyway, we'll try to get that worked out and then have to figure out if we need a fix, you know, on underneath that ladder entrance. That's our main concern. Are we underlining? It was raised by Lori to me or to the team. And also, do we have any erosion of that slope next to the ladder that can affect the ladder?
So what do we know now as far as your concern? Why are you concerned? Let's go back over that.
Because when the contractor needed to go in and form the bottom of the thing, the as-builts and what he was finding were inconsistent.
Different, okay.
And we, in order to facilitate the work that he was doing, we allowed them to form up with a gap. Mm-hmm. And we needed to fill that gap in. And what is the gap? Is it just a little bit of gap
right.
and he's going to fill it in, or is it a big gap and we have bigger issues to be a little bit worried about?
Right, okay.
You've got a big wall to separating your spillway right there, and if there's undercutting of that, you don't want to lose that wall. Yeah, so we just need to know if we have an issue or no issue.
Okay.
But when they had to form that bottom, they had to project it. It's not sitting, there's no flush surface now, so we have an undercut.
Undercut, mm-hmm. Okay.
You want to make sure it's good rock underneath it.
Right. So is that just a structural issue, or is that also potentially a fish passage issue the way it is with
it? It shouldn't be
a structural.
It's really low. It's
it wouldn't affect hydraulics.
No, it's really low.
Very low.
Okay.
No, it's purely a dam safety structural stability issue. It has enough. I don't think there's much of a hydraulic impact.
This has been caused by the Navlock flow going out, do you think? Or?
I have lots of opinions.
That's further down. It shouldn't be.
So the main reason we're trying to look at it now is we have a contractor in place, and if there is an issue, it would be advantageous for us to try to address it with our contractor there, if we can.
Right.
So we are proactive about it. On the pumps, so we got the corrective plan forward, but we don't know the schedule. The three pumps are up and running. They have been, and we basically Miro, because of the fish passage wasn't as good as we wanted it to be, we actually cranked all three of them up, and we were going in more than the criteria. We're at, I think, 2 point something. I don't know the exact figure without talking to Miro, but that's helped a lot on the numbers and the passage. I mean, I saw a bump, one of the fish, I don't remember which one, but went from 200 to 600 in one day. So I was like, oh, that's really good. So. We're trying to be proactive on that. Well, since we don't have ability to regulate that velocity right now, because that's our second season work, we're just trying to use everything we have to send it up through.
Did you get the did Brad by any chance send you, I didn't realize he wasn't going to be here, but I did an analysis of the counts mm-hmm. for the last 4 years at the North Ladder. Sent it to Brad and Tom,
yep.
Trevor, and Miro, but I thought, and Tammy, I thought they would send it out to the various folks if they wanted to. And I do have a few copies if people are interested in it. But what it showed me, what I was concerned about was that we might be seeing a problem here that would show up throughout the year. Not just in September 1 on. So I did a check against all the last 4 years anyway, up through 2009, and I'm not seeing any kind of a difference for 12 in that North Ladder than what we saw at other years. So some years are better, some years are worse. Looked at Steelhead, looked at Chinook, Jax, Adults, and Sockeye. So I'm really not seeing a problem other than that time after spill this year was dramatic reduction in passage for all species. Steelhead not quite as much, but certainly for Chinook, so and Coho as well. I don't have that on here, but what we also saw was that the project did their test starting on the 19th or the 20th, I believe it was, of September. And right after they did that, they got an immediate response from the fish, and we saw a lot higher passage. And then they backed it off, but they kept it higher. The fish passage has been higher. So you look at the average for those two time periods, early September, late September.